Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. Yes, friends, it is the In Wheel Time car talk show. This segment, Patrick Olson from Carfax joins us to talk about all things used. Conrad will have the In Wheel Time car clinic, and we'll also take a look at this week's auto news in this half hour. Howdy, along with Mike out of this world Mars, King Conrad yawning DeLong, and we need more Jeff Zekin. And I'm Don Armstrong. We're all here for you today, along with Patrick Olson from Carfax. Patrick, good morning to you, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well.
where do we start?
Where do we start with the used car market that things have kind of gone upside down? They were getting record prices for used cars a month ago, and now not so much. That some we've heard that some used car lots 20 to 30% less money these days than
drop
it was.
Value.
Yeah, drop in value than it was just recently.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting to see. Consumers for a long time, I think, were holding off on buying cars. And I think that dealers have finally burned through the inventory they had. And now they're seeing more inventory coming back. And consumers are waiting for that deal. And that's forcing dealers, I think, to have to figure out a way to move those cars off the lot.
Now, do you see that with the inquiries that you get at Carfax?
Absolutely. So we, you know, last year when stimulus money came out, tax refunds came out, we saw a huge demand for used cars. This year, it's been a little quieter. And so I think consumers have been leery of overpaying too much and afraid of the depreciation of what might come. And now I think dealers are having to respond to that.
Do you think that the prices are going to continue to drop for a while?
It's hard to say. You know, as new cars finally get the chips that they've been missing, the new car inventories opens up a little bit more. I think it's going to make consumers make some choices about, do they want to buy used or they want to buy new?
Well, that's what I was.
So I don't think it'll be a plummet, but I think there certainly will be an erosion in the high prices of used car over time.
Because if the new cars are now becoming available, those people, like you say, that were looking at maybe a 1 or 2 year old used car, they may go back to looking at new cars because now they have that option.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I will say this, to your point, is that the average price of new cars has gone up considerably over a year ago. So there's that balance there that you've got to look at your pocketbook and go, okay, am I willing to stick my neck out and pay a lot more for, in most cases, interest rates? Or do I stick with what I got, or do I go to the used car market where I can get probably more for the money?
And then who's incentivizing what? You know, you got to look at manufacturers' incentives have somewhat gone away until just recently, and now they're starting back up. And you're seeing finance incentives, and you're seeing discount cash on the hood, again, trying to drive that market of selling new.
Yeah.
So, Patrick, let me ask you. So my experience watching my kids has been that they don't look necessarily at, like Don said, the price has gone up significantly. The price has gone up, but what did that do to my car note? They seem always to me, and I think it's a mistake personally, but they always look at the car note. If my car note only goes up $5 or $10 because that new car costs more now, then that's no big deal. I'll take it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people buy at a monthly budget and they don't think about the long term cost, and frankly, they're less concerned about extending the length of the loan. I mean, you know, the average now is like 66, 67 months for a loan, where it used to be, you know, not that long ago, 48 months. So I think a lot of people think, it's just part of my budget. And so I'll extend it out some. And of course, cars, thankfully, are more reliable than they've ever been. And, you know, the average age of a car now is like 12 years on the road. So they're not as concerned. Like 30 years ago, when I was buying a car, I was very concerned if cars would make it to 100,000 miles. Today, 200, you know, 300, not out of the realm of the possible. So I think people are happy is a funny word there, are more willing to extend that car loan because they know the car should last them easily that long.
What is the average price of a used vehicle in the most popular category? I'm going to assume that it's going to be a midsize SUV.
That's absolutely the most popular category. I don't have a specific price, but I think for used, I think it's somewhere in the $30,000 range.
Does, does the formula still exist for every $1,000 of car price, it's a $20 car payment? For if so, for every $1,000, if it's $2,000, it's, you know, you base it on that, the formula?
Yeah, I'm not that far in the weeds on pricing of cars.
Yeah, so. I would think probably the interest rate would have a bigger play on that.
That's true, yes. Too. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've seen interest rates really come into play these days. And to Conrad's point about manufacturer incentives, I'm now seeing that in some vehicles, and here in Texas, it's mainly trucks, that I saw one just yesterday, as a matter of fact, $8,000 off of MSRP. Mm-hmm. And not, 0% financing per se, but it's like, 1% or 10%, something like that. It's low.
Yeah, I think we saw there was a point this summer when I was looking at rebates and deals with one of the guys who works for me. And he said, we are down from a year ago or a year and a half ago, 200 plus cars, 200 plus models having 0% of financing to like 40 models at 0% financing. And now we're starting to see that go back up. And OEMs in particular are trying to create more financing. What's funny is the OEMs are trying really hard to limit production, but for too many of them, I think they see building the most cars as a point of pride, and they have to balance that with making their dealers happy, because if there's fewer cars, dealers get a better margin or better price on the car. And we've definitely seen in the past when automakers overproduce, it kind of buries dealers in inventory and drives down the price of the car, which dealers, of course, not wild about.
And one of the things about Carfax, you had mentioned earlier about the, used to be a 100,000-mile car, now it's a 200,000-mile car. Well, one of the bits of data you get from Carfax is the service history to go along with it.
Yes.
If it's reported. And that's quite valuable to the used car buyer, is to see what the maintenance history and repair history of that vehicle is that comes
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we see on average for cars that have proof of being well maintained, that over time they're worth about $2,000 more when it comes time to resell the cars where you don't have that proof of service, right? And so it's definitely both in the in the interest of the owner, frankly, to keep their car up, right? So we have some recent data. We haven't published it, but we're going to publish soon. It says something like 30% of cars are behind on their oil change. Nearly half are behind on their tire rotation.
Oh, boy.
And so owners are not keeping up with what they need to do. And it's not just saving your car now. It's getting that value down the road. When you go to resell it, you're missing the opportunity to make sure that, it's money out of your pocket today, but it's going to be money in your pocket tomorrow.
And the longevity of the vehicle as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. If you want it to go 250,000, 300,000 miles, you have to maintain it.
That's right.
One of the things that I wanted to kind of go over, because we have some listeners that may not really understand what Carfax really does and how they do it. If you could explain that to us for the person that doesn't, they've heard of Carfax, they see the ads on TV, but really don't know exactly how it works and why it's important.
Sure. So the heart of Carfax is really the data that we get on all these cars. And we are fast approaching 30 billion records that we have in our database. We're not there yet, but I think we'll get there soon. But the bottom line is we work with dealers, we work with service shops, we work with insurance companies and other agencies, more than 115,000 sources of data. And so what we do is we track all that for consumers. And so if you buy a Carfax vehicle history report on a car you're considering, or even the car you're selling, right? If you want to sell your car to a dealer or to a private party, you want to show them all the things that you've done to your car. You want to be a transparent seller. So we use that data to create those reports. But, we're beyond that, too. We have what we call our history-based value, which takes all of that specific data to your car. So if you go to another site that offers a value, they may look at your year, the make, the model, how many miles do you have, what the relative condition of it is. Well, we look at all of that. Plus, we look at how often was it serviced? Was it ever in an accident? Was the accident minor? Was the accident severe? Have you ever had hail damage, right? And we're weighing a lot more factors around the value, and we're looking at it in your zip code. So we're looking at it, what is your value in your market? If you're trying to sell a truck in Texas, that's a very different thing than if you're trying to sell a truck in, you know, in, I don't know, New York City, right? The values are going to be very different depending on the laws of supply and demand. So we can also come up with a value for your car that you can use when you're ready to trade it in. And then finally, with our used car listings, what's great about them is every listing on the site has a free vehicle history report. So you don't have to pay for it. You get it right from the dealer to be able for you to check on the history of that car. So we're kind of a 360, you know, look at the history of that car, of where it's been, what it's worth, and, you know, helping you figure out which of those cars are the ones you want to buy.
How much does a Carfax report cost?
One costs 40, but if you buy three, it's three, I think, for $60 today, and then you get six for 100. And if you're looking to buy a car, typically you're looking at more than one car. So better to buy a bunch so I can save money on that and look at a bunch of reports.
I did not know that I could sell my car on Carfax.
You can't. Let me be clear. We only have dealer listings on Carfax.
Dealer listings.
But you can sell your car using a Carfax to help the, you know, other buyers see where you've been.
I see. Okay. So used car dealers can list their cars on Carfax.
That's correct. Right. Okay. Whether they're an OEM shop or they're an independent, just a used car only lot.
So on the retained value of vehicles, which is a little thing, something that you guys really delve into, how are you analyzing the retained value of an internal combustion engine versus a pure EV? What's the value difference?
Well, I would say right now we're in our infancy, right? Because there are so few EVs in the market compared to internal combustion engines that it's really hard to say the difference yet.
Yeah, the other way.
But we definitely see more and more people coming up with EVs, and we're certainly paying attention. I was in a meeting just this week where we're talking about how do we want to look at EVs, how do we want to think about them, what are the data points we need to provide to users that they're not already getting. So it's an exploding area. You know, all these automakers are talking about lots and lots of models by 2030, but at the moment there's not a lot of differentiation.
So I'm confused. So I go into a dealership and I want to buy a car. They show me the Carfax, but I have to buy that from them?
No.
Okay,
so
that's where I'm confused.
If you go into a dealership and they show you the Carfax, that's them. Or if you go to a dealership where you found the car in Carfax used car listings, the VHR is free there. But if you're buying from a private party and you want the Carfax vehicle history report, then you have to buy it. Or you could ask the guy selling it to buy it for you, which is, you know, kind of a sign of good faith and transparency.
That's where you were talking about buying multiple, because I'm looking for a car, and I've got three of them that I want to choose between. So I want the Carfax on all three of them so I can use that as part of my decision-making process.
Absolutely. Like if you find that Mustang wagon, you want to
check it out. Oh, now you're talking.
Man, you want that car.
I can tell
by the look on your face.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Does Carfax have any data on diminished value for cars that have been in wrecks? Do you guys support that information for, say, an insurance claim?
Well, I don't know if we do it for the insurance claim, but we can tell you just by what we've seen that for cars with minor cosmetic damage, it's about a $500 hit to the value of a car. For cars with severe damage, it could be $1,500 to $2,000 off the value of the car.
So you look at it in this regard. Here's what the value is. Now, what you do with that information is kind of up to you.
Yes, that's right.
And
it's a negotiating point, and it's neither the starting nor the finish point, right? You've got to decide, and who you're negotiating with, how much, you know, you're going to do with that number.
Right. Yeah. So it's part of that. Can we back up to your data collection process?
Sure.
You mentioned the independent shops. So I get the oil changed in my truck because it's disposing of oil nowadays is ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. So I take it someplace and have it done.
Yeah.
And it's an independent shop. I mean, if I were to get a Carfax on my truck to sell it, would that show up, or how would that work?
So we have a lot of deals with a lot of independent shops. We don't have every shop, though. I will tell you that, you know, we're always looking to add more. What you can do, though, we have a way in our car care app where you can upload the receipt and show people that you've got a receipt for it. It won't show up on the vehicle history report, but you can show proof of that in your own account.
Oh, okay.
So that you can save that information into your own account.
Okay. Because the repair shops have to report to Carfax. It doesn't automatically
happen. And many do, but
not all. Well, that's what I'm saying. I guess that would be a question for them. You know, is this information going up to Carfax?
And to be honest, that's where consumers can take the reins and ask the shop manager, hey, I would like you to work with Carfax because this now shows up on my vehicle history report, and I'm going to get more money down the road.
Right.
And because you do that, I'm more willing to come back to your shop to get my service here because I know that it's a virtuous cycle, right? I do the work, I pay for it, it keeps the truck going, but in the end, I want to get paid off for that. And you can help me do that, Mr. Service Shop Owner.
So my question is, you buy a car and you go to your insurance company, you say, this is my new car, I want to move all my insurance policies over. Are they in any way obligated, or should they be, or can they be obligated through an insurance company to say, did you get a Carfax report? Would that help you or not?
I've never heard of an insurance company asking for one. I always think more data in hand is more useful than not. You know, I've never been in a situation, FICO scores, right, or whatever. The more data I've had, the better off I've been. So, I don't think insurance companies require it or demand it, or even financing companies for that matter.
Well, I would think that they would want it to better.
But it's not the worst idea.
Interesting. Yeah, because I could see more of a finance company wanting to make sure the value's there.
Do you have a Carfax on my 2001 Corvette?
Absolutely.
You
we
do?
We're going back to 1983. Is how far back we go.
Wow.
So if you're looking for a car that's 21 years old, you can probably get a Carfax on that.
You can absolutely get a Carfax on that, yes.
But it's written
assuming
stone.
That it's still in operation, right? If, you know, check the VIN and, you know, I won't say we have, you know, 100%, but we've got 99.9% chance that we've got it from all the way back to 83.
That is truly amazing. Because let's just say, for instance, that the little old lady that lives down the street that goes to church and goes to the grocery store once a week that has hardly any miles on her 1985 Oldsmobile, and she's wanting to sell it because she can't drive anymore.
You can get a Carfax on it.
I can get a Carfax on it.
Champagne color.
Yeah. So at any rate, well, Patrick, it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much for explaining all this to us. We really appreciate it. I know that this is going to get lots of hits on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Great information.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It truly is. And thank you very much. And we'll hope to check in with you in another 6 months or so and find out how the used car market's going.
Carfax.com.
Amen. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'd love to hear from you, too. Just shoot us an email. The address is info@inwheeltime.com. Time now for Conrad's Car Clinic.
All right.
Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about hybrid vehicles. Hybrid vehicle owners are all about fuel economy and decreased emissions. Don't overlook the combustion engines in hybrid vehicles. You know, your customers may not understand that their HEV still needs to be serviced on the combustion engine side of things, because like we just talked with Carfax, without proper maintenance, the important benefits of a hybrid vehicle that they provide can be lost and serious problems can develop. Why do hybrid vehicles need to be serviced? You know, all hybrid vehicles have that start-stop feature that hate.
Yep.
Well, that start-stop feature can promote instability in the fuel, can promote carbonizing of the intake valves in the combustion chamber. They can have an effect on the acceleration of oxidation of the fuel and corrosion of the fuel in the gas tank.
It's hard on an engine.
It's very hard on an engine. You know, and additionally, that start-stop causes hot and cold fluctuations that can lower the average crankcase temperature, so the oil never really gets hot. And the oil needs to get hot, so it purges whatever moisture is in there.
Hot like me.
That it evaporates, yes. And the best way to prevent a hybrid vehicle problem is with regular preventative maintenance. And it should be considered based, my opinion, on hours, not necessarily mileage.
So, good point, especially in sitting in traffic all the time.
Correct. Hybrid electric vehicles are powered by an electric motor, generally is the propulsion piece to it, but the internal combustion engine still needs to be maintained. Battery power reduces combustion engine use when it's not needed, but idling at stoplights and that start-stop is really detrimental to
the engine. Let me ask you a question about that. So I've got a hybrid, and they recommend that I change the oil every 6,000 miles. You're saying maybe perhaps I need to go to 5,000 or 4,000 miles on my oil change.
Or based on time.
Well, I know, but yeah, there's not a timer in the car on the amount of time.
I would shorten the mileage on it because of the start-stop feature. You know, you got to remember that start-stop feature dilutes the oil with fuel, because the way that they restart most of these is not a starter starting, is they stop the engine at an exact point, spray fuel and ignite the spark to push the engine down. Well, that happens, and you get fuel dilution of the engine oil. So that again deters damages the engine oil short term. Mm-hmm. So changing it more frequently, I think, is a better idea. Since the gasoline engine doesn't run as often in a hybrid, it doesn't need as much attention. Right? Wrong. Again, that start stop feature is detrimental to the engine oil and the heat cycling of the engine oil. HEVs can actually accelerate conditions and then in turn reduce the fuel economy and loss of power and poor throttle response. And these problems can be prevented with regular maintenance on your HEV. And I don't think enough people recognize that an HEV can require additional maintenance even though you're running on electric all the time. The other thing is E85 engines. If you're running E85, you need to change your oil at 3,000 miles.
At E85 engine, do they have that in an actual hybrid?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They do?
Yeah, you can get
E85.
But I don't think many people are actually running E85 fuel.
It just seems to be like that's kind of counterproductive.
Well, it's compounding the problem.
Well, besides that, it's also costing you more money in fuel.
Because E85s sucks more. Get horrible fuel economy.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you, sir. Well, back to Carlos, as I call him, Gosen. I think that real name is Gone.
We should have him on the show.
I like Gosen better.
Get him on the show, Mike.
Father and son sentenced to serve time in a Japanese prison for smuggling Carlos Gosen out of the country in a large musical equipment case.
Nice.
Were transferred to the U.S. a week ago, ending another chapter of the corporate saga involving the former chairman of Renault and Nissan.
They're getting the band back together.
Yeah.
Michael Taylor, the father and a former U.S. Green Beret, and his son Peter were imprisoned last year after they pleaded guilty to helping the auto industry executive flee trial in late 2019 and make his way to Beirut. Gosen was arrested in Japan in 2018 on charges of underreporting income and other corporate crimes, which he's denied. Federal Bureau of Prisons flew both out of Japan late in October after the two governments agreed to let them serve the remainder of their sentences in the U.S., according to Peter, and was released soon thereafter arrival. Michael is soon to be set free pending procedural matters.
Of course. What prison is he in? Did he come over to?
The no bond bail.
We could do a remote, Mike.
We could do a remote.
From prison.
A prison remote.
Prison remote.
We got a federal place right out there close to my house.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're in it.
Not today.
Yeah, right,
but there is one out there,
by the airport.
Speaking of lawsuits, Lucid Group filed a federal lawsuit here in Texas accusing the state's rules on auto dealerships of economic protectionism that hurt the company's ability to sell its electric vehicles here. Well, you know, Tesla has done it since their inception here, and they've done quite well. In a suit filed in Austin, Lucid said the state is acting anti-competitively in forcing companies to sell their products through established dealerships.
Duh.
A Newark, California-based company, which markets its vehicles online and through a network of Lucid-owned studios, maintains that its direct sales and in-house after-sales service are so closely tied that using an independent franchise dealer would not be economically viable and would harm the business. BS. The case comes as Lucid struggles to develop its business selling its high-end plug-in air sedan, which currently retails for more than $100,000. Now, we saw one.
Yes.
Down at
was that, was
the
Car that an
Social.
Air or was that an Ocean?
No, it was an Air.
It was an Air.
It was an Air.
Stunning vehicle. Oh, yeah.
Stunningly beautiful car.
It is. It's not my cup of tea, but whatever. Lucid's testing out a similar legal strategy to one tried largely successfully by Tesla in Michigan. After more than 3 years of litigation, the party settled, and Michigan consumers can now buy Tesla vehicles and get them serviced there. Austin, Texas-based Tesla faces similar challenges here in Texas and is unable to sell directly to Texans.
Can you get it?
I have a friend of mine that has one, and he said it was the easiest, smoothest way that he has ever bought a car.
Can you get a Tesla through Carvana? A used one?
Yeah, but they won't pay. Still, they won't pay the note on
they
it.
Won't pay. Yeah, they won't get it licensed.
We'll find out.
They're going to use that money.
We'll find out.
Yeah. It just, dude, that Carvana. Speaking of, Carvana is set to wipe out more than half of its market value in just two trading sessions as the stock plunged to an all-time low on deepening gloom about used car sales.
Time to buy.
Shares of the auto retailer have sunk more than 53% in the two trading days since the company reported disappointing third-quarter results late on Thursday, bringing its once lofty market capitalization down to about $1.4 billion from $2.6 billion before the earnings miss. That's a far cry from the $60 billion valuation the firm commanded last year. The shares fell 15.6% to close at $7.39.
I bet you all the executives sold out at the $60 billion level.
I want out.
Yep. We'll see
you. I'm here for your stock, Chuck.
Quick break now. You're on the In Wheel Time Car Talk Show.
Starting to work on your Christmas calendar? Be sure to add the next Tailpipes and Tacos Cruise in Saturday, December 17th. You'll want to attend Tailpipes and Tacos Christmas Edition at the Loopy Tortilla in Katy, 8 to 11 a.m. It's the only place cruisers compete for Loopy's Chili Pepper trophies and other prizes. There's no charge to enter your vehicle for Best Hot Rod, Best Classic, or Best Modern Classic. Tailpipes and Tacos is Houston's coolest and most unique cruise in, and is your opportunity to see the best hot rods, show cars, classics, and resto mods, and get Loopy Tortilla breakfast tacos with adult beverages. There's no entry fee, and cars will automatically compete for those much sought after custom Loopy trophies and other prizes. It happens at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex in Katy on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard, just south of I-10. It's the Tailpipes and Tacos Christmas Edition, Saturday, December 17th. The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show will be there too. Celebrate the Christmas season with friends and family at Tailpipes and Tacos. Saturday morning, December 17th, 8 to 11. We'll see you then, weather permitting.
Hey, Houston! America's greatest hot rod tradition is back! Thanksgiving weekend! The O'Reilly Auto Parts Autorama! At the George R. Brown Convention Center. Four action-packed days of hot rods, customs, classics, trucks, performance cars, and live music. Do not miss the Ultimate Lowrider Showcase. Sponsored by Shorty's Hydraulics. And the traditional Rod Garage. Saturday only, it's the Tuner Galleria. With 250 imports, JDM, and luxury cars. Plus music and models. On the celebrity stage, presented by Nick's Auto Repair and Classic Car Restoration. Meet Bad Chad and wife Jolene from Bad Chad Customs on Friday. Saturday, it's Dave Kindig from TV's Bitchin' Rise. Sunday, it's Danny Coker and Kevin Mack from TV's Counting Cars. Shop the Swap Meet and Women's World all weekend. The O'Reilly Auto Parts Autorama. November 25th to 28th at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Discount tickets at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Part of the Summer Racing Equipment Show Car Series. See Autorama.com for more info.
The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show is now part of the iHeart family. Now you'll have access to 24/7 Car Talk anytime you need a fix. Just download the iHeart Radio app and ask for In Wheel Time Car Talk, and there we are. Be sure to save us in your iHeart library for instant access. No matter where you are, you have the best car talk show right on your PC, laptop, or mobile device, and never have to worry about finding us again. Of course, you can always get access to our video and audio streams via InWheelTime.com and your favorite podcast channel, and all of this is free to you. From the iHeartRadio app, you'll not only hear our Saturday morning live show, but the best shows of the past, updated weekly.
Never miss a minute of up-to-date new car reviews, pre-owned reviews, Conrad's Car Clinic, informative interviews, automotive news, and the most fun car talk show on the planet. Just download the iHeartRadio app, search for In Real Time Car Talk, save it to your library, and with a tap of the icon, you'll be in touch with your favorite Car Talk team. In Real Time Car Talk, streaming now on iHeart.com/InRealTimeCarTalk. That's it for this podcast episode of the In Real Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.